The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Dr. Peter Boylan is, of course, is chairman of the Institute of Obstetricians in Ireland, former master of the National Maternity Hospital, and a man who, of course, was very much in the news recently with his opposition to the proposed arrangements for the new National Maternity Hospital at St. Vincent's. How surprised were you, Peter, to hear the news today that not only will the Religious Sisters of Charity cede ownership and management of the new National Maternity Hospital, but they're actually getting out of hospitals altogether?
Yes, I was surprised. I think it's interesting, but it appears that the ownership is going to be transferred to the charity, which is going to be set up as they divest themselves of their ownership of the St. Vincent's Hospital Group. So I think we probably just need a bit of clarity about what the status of the charity is. It's really important that it should be incorporated according to the laws of the Republic of Ireland and not as what is known as a public juridic person, which is an arrangement. It's not actually a person, it's an arrangement structure that Catholic organisations use when they divest themselves of property. The Mercy Nuns in Cork, for example, formed Mercy Care South, which is a public juridic person, but these arrangements are governed by canon law, not by state law. So I think we just need a bit of clarity about that. And we also need to have a look at what the board structure is proposed, and also that the master should report to the board of the National Maternity Hospital and not to the clinical director of St. Vincent's Hospital Group.
So there's still some work to be done, but at the same time, isn't it a pity all of this wasn't announced before we've had all the rows of the last 6 or 7 weeks?
Yes, I understand that the Sister Charity have been looking at this now for a few years, and that would not be a surprise, really, I suppose, because the Mercy Hospital in the Mercy Nuns in Cork have done it, and I understand that the Mercy Nuns in the Mater were looking at it, but I'm not sure what stage their arrangements are at. I understand a lot of the paperwork has been done, but they haven't actually signed off on anything, or the Archbishop hasn't signed off on anything yet. So, yeah, it is a pity, but you know, people should have known better than to put the nuns in this impossible position where they were being asked to own a hospital which was going to be doing work which is fundamentally at odds with their religious beliefs and their ethos. And that basically wasn't fair on them. And it also made no sense from the point of view of the care of women. So there was a lot of things wrong with the whole agreement that was worked out between the two.
And from listening to what you said to our newsroom in a clip that we played there just at 5 o'clock, you were quite generous to the nuns for the contribution they've made to Irish society in healthcare over the centuries.
Yeah, absolutely. In health and in social care, I mean, I've heard Sister Stan talking, and they have made tremendous sacrifices working for nothing. But the interface between Catholic religious ethos and maternity care is so completely different from general medicine and general surgery. There are no issues, for example, if you're looking at a hip replacement or cardiology or any of the other areas of general medicine or surgery. It's only when you get down to maternity care that you really run into difficulties. And I don't think it was reasonable to ask the nuns to own a hospital or for them to feel that they could own a hospital and to allow things happen there that they were so fundamentally opposed to. And, of course, the board structure was completely wrong in that you had 4 out of 9 people who would be fundamentally opposed to the work, a significant proportion of work going on in the hospital. So I think, you know, that needs to be looked at as well.
David Quinn is with us as well, columnist with the Irish Independent and Irish Catholic, director of the Own Institute. I suppose in the bigger picture here as well, David, is it seems that in some respects the religious orders are dying out and that they simply don't have the nurses to provide the care that they used to do in previous generations.
Well, I mean, I suppose I'd like to say, first of all, that I was in favour of the nuns finding some way to get out from ownership of the maternity hospital that's to be established. I wasn't in favour of that. So I'm glad that's happened, but it's disappointing, really, that they feel that they have no choice but to get out of the 3 hospitals that they founded, especially the first St. Vincent's, which goes back to 1834. So it's disappointing they feel that has to happen, because that's obviously a separate thing entirely from the new NMH, you know, whenever it's built at the Elm Park campus. And I suppose it gets back to your question, which is there's about 200 of them now. The average age is about 78, and so and a great majority of them are retired, and the rest of them, if they're not retired, will be retired shortly. I mean, that's not to say you can't do what's happening in respect to some of the schools, which is, we'd say, a particular order that has run schools, hands it over to a lay body that will reflect their ethos, and it'll be lay people doing it. So there was no particular reason, I guess, in respect to the three hospitals that couldn't have happened here. I mean, I can only surmise that the reason that they felt they had to give up ownership of the three hospitals they founded is, I think, Kieran Mulvey, who mediated the deal between Holles Street and the St. Vincent's Healthcare Group, seemed to say that they couldn't give up land on the Elm Park campus because it was tied up in all kinds of financial deals with the banks. And they couldn't do it for that reason. So perhaps the nuns felt the only way to get out from under it was to give up their three hospitals, plus any possibility of ownership of the new maternity facility as well.
Is this just an indication as well, though? I mean, what worked in previous centuries doesn't necessarily work for the 21st century. There was a failure on the part of the state to provide hospitals and medical services in the past, but that was then. There's no excuse not to do it and to leave it to charity now.
Well, it's an overarching question, though, that's a really important one for society as a whole to consider. Now, this is a question to be decided even if there was no church in existence at all. And the question is, what kind of governing ethos does society want for its hospitals in general, and not just the maternity ones? Does it want a pro-life or a pro-choice ethos to govern them? I mean, I noticed the St. Vincent's Healthcare Group, and they said this in the past, they will carry out whatever procedures are lawful in the land. So let's go 10 or 20 years down the road. Supposing we have assisted suicide in Ireland, will our hospitals, therefore, including these ones, conduct assisted suicide? I mean, obviously, my own point of view is that a hospital should never deliberately kill a patient, whether the patient be unborn, old, or infirm. I think that should be the governing ethos of any hospital, with or without the Catholic Church.
I presume that will remain the ethos, Peter Boylan. That's not in dispute, is it?
Well, I think David's views have to be respected, and a way around difficulties that people might have with procedures that are very common in maternity care would be to found what is known as faith-based hospitals, which are very plentiful in the United States. You have to be careful that there isn't a...
Sorry, one second, David. We bring you back in when Peter's made his point. Sorry, Peter, continue.
You have to be careful that there isn't a preponderance of these, because that limits people's choice in a secular and a multicultural, multi-religious and no-religious society. So I think that... and people's religions have to... religious beliefs have to be respected. But that was one of the difficulties, I think, in, as I said, the interface between obstetrics and Catholic Church teaching. Is at odds. But there's no reason why, I mean, Mount Carmel, for example, was a Catholic ethos maternity unit. The Bonds in Cork was. They've both closed. So there isn't one left in the country at the moment. But if a particular religious order wants to have its own ethos, then I think they need to fund the hospital and have it as a private hospital, as the Bonds and Mount Carmel were, but not state-funded.
Yeah, I mean, that slightly misses my point, though, Peter, because I was saying whether a hospital is pro-choice or pro-life is something to be considered with or without the Catholic Church, with or without Christianity, and with or without these orders. I mean, this is a question that we need to consider quite apart from the Catholic Church. What should be the governing ethos of the publicly funded and, in some cases, state-run hospitals? And so, obviously, society needs to have an input there. And it needs to decide whether we want the governing ethos of hospitals to continue to be first do not kill. Because obviously we see, for example, in Belgium and the Netherlands, hospitals carrying out the likes of assisted suicide, which plainly takes the life of a patient, even if that's what they want. It's what happens. And so to me, that is not good patient care by definition. And abortion on the kind of scale that gets carried out in Britain is not good patient care either, because obviously it doesn't care for the interests of the unborn patient. And so, I mean, I think a pro-life ethos, pro-choice ethos very much violates, and I'm talking as well about the other end of the life spectrum, so when a patient might be old and infirm, very much violates what to me is good medical ethics, whether or not we have a Catholic Church.
I'll leave the last word to you, Dr. Peter Boylan.
Yeah, no, I think David's absolutely right. It does violate his ethical beliefs and his deeply held faith beliefs, and there's a lot of people who would share his views. But equally, there's an awful lot of people who would not share his views. And I think in a
Socratic oath goes way back before Christianity, Peter.
Of course it does, yeah. And I practice according to it. But I think in a modern democratic society, these issues are debated in all societies. And almost every society in Europe has dealt with this in a very adult and humane way, where everybody's views are respected. And just because my views are different from David's doesn't mean that his views are correct and mine are wrong, or vice versa, that mine are correct and his are wrong. It really depends on your point of view, how you're brought up, and what your belief system is. And I think we need to respect all of those
things. Yeah, but I mean, you can't have beliefs that lead to the killing of patients. Well, which is what is happening in Dutch and Belgium and other hospitals and an increasing extent around the world. I mean, it does seems to me to be a total corruption of medical ethics to allow the precept, yes, you can kill your patients under certain circumstances, to prevail. And it seems to me this doesn't come down to subjective opinions. I mean, it's wrong in itself to take the life of a patient, even if they are themselves requesting it.
I'm going to leave the last word to you, as I'd promised, Dr. Peter Boylan.
Well, no, I think that's a view that's held by very many people, and it has to be respected, but I think the other views have to be respected as well.
Dr. Peter Boylan and David Quinn, thank you both very much for taking the time to join us on the programme.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.